Hello and welcome. This is Sherry from Sound Health Options Radio. Richard is still not available to do the show. That's probably why we're a bit late. We're going to have a vaulted program from one of Richard and I's favorite, mainly Richard because she's an environmentalist, and I love her because she's a musician and she's a very, very real person. Her name is Bibi Farber. Looking at that name, it looks like it's misspelled, but I guess it isn't. The show today has a lot of announcements, and then we are going to start our recorded show. We're coming to you from the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health in Ohio. I think we're the largest alternative research center in Ohio. I'm certain we are the largest one in southern Ohio. We are sponsored by the research that is done here, and we have just now, and just now getting it up on the internet for all of our friends on the West Coast, we have decoded all of the toxins that are coming from the phos-check, that pink stuff that they're spreading over the wildfires, and we know they need to, but there's a lot of poisons in there. And people are calling us with a lot of reactions, headaches, muscle aches, eye aches. So we have figured all of the antidotes for that. They're all decoded now. They're being put up on the internet now under soundhealthoptions.com. And if you go to services, it's under breathing, and you'll be able to test yourself against these toxins. And we're going to put up a chart that shows you, okay, if you have this toxin, you can ameliorate it with this nutrient. And the way you tell you've been exposed to this toxin is it will, your muscles will get sore. One of them is the eyes looking down. One of them is the lower leg. So we're very happy that we're able to bring that to you. Other things, we're having another two-day free class with software, November 2nd and 3rd. We hope that you can join us then. We're not sure whether we want to do bio diet for the holidays or Alzheimer's because that's kind of a family thing. So if you could let us hear from you about which one you would prefer, that would be great. Or you can jump on the Blog Talk Radio chat, and we have a monitor there today. Jalene is with us, and if you could let her know, or if you have questions or comments about the show. There is a lot more going on. We have figured out how these people are dying in hotel rooms of heart issues. It has to do with that strange sound, and we decoded it. We got a copy from the internet, and we decoded it, and we're going to be appearing on the Power Hour on the 29th to spill the beans, so to speak, as of what is going on with that. On our website under radio, it says previous events, bringing it all together with Stephen Hewer and also Maureen. Boy, I don't remember her last, Lobato. Those shows did not happen, as you know. Richard is having trouble getting on. I'm having trouble knowing how to run the board. Jalene is trying to do it today. So, Jalene, if you will go ahead and start Bibi Farber's vaulted program, that would be great. And we will be listening to you on the other.
I really have to ask, how did you get into doing all of this? I mean, you have a whole other career, a whole other life. Has this always been a driving force for you, the Next World TV and your other exciting announcements? And, I mean, how did you get here?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. I think the answer is I had a very radical musician boyfriend who I guess, opened my eyes. I've always been into sustainability in the sense that I've always known that we're doing everything upside down and wrong. I've been aware of the food system, you know, the crime of how we raise animals on feedlots, the pollution involved. I've always been a vegetarian sort of green-minded person, but then I really understood that almost everything in our lives was leading us to fall off a cliff. I mean, every time I put on an air conditioner or used a plastic bag, I began to really see that this is has devastating consequences. Just my normal life. Forget meat eating or driving big cars. I mean, just getting through a day in America is polluting, and it's not sustainable. It's not working. I was just always led to believe that it would sort of work out. You know, there's going to be a solution. There's a way to metabolize this waste, and there are organizations keeping things in check. And then I believe around the time of the financial crash, I realized, no, we are headed off a cliff. There's no grown-ups at home. Nobody's running this show. We are destroying the earth. It's true. I became fascinated with the idea from the point of view of peak oil, which has changed a lot now since 2008. But I saw a lot of documentaries which made clear to me that we're not going to have cheap oil forever. And I never really understood that all of my comfort and sanitation and cheap products and food coming to me cheaply, I never understood that this was all at the root because of cheap energy in my lifetime, which is a new phenomenon, you know, the last 100, 150 years or something. And it may be over in my lifetime. I just happen to live in this bubble of cheap energy in the form of oil. So I became fascinated with oh my goodness, what if there's no more cheap energy? What are we going to have to do? And I am a songwriter, and I started writing about that, reading about that, and one thing led to another. I started this website, which is called nextworldtv.com. nextworldtv.com. It's a free service. I have a thousand videos, I believe, up there now of videos that all have to do with sustainability. But they're all positive. They're mostly positive initiatives. It's not doomsday stuff. It's not preparing for the worst apocalyptic scenarios. It's all about little and big things we can all be doing. How we can collect rainwater, grow more food locally, stay healthy, you know, make our own products at home, avoid buying plastic, avoid polluting. They're both passions of mine. But since you asked, I think it'd be a great opportunity to why don't I introduce you to one of my songs, which is very much written about this scenario of when we no longer have cheap goods coming in from China and we're going to have to make everything ourselves. It's a song called Billion Things, and it's about just two people talking about all the things that we're going to have to make ourselves.
Definitely be intensive.
That's wonderful. I want it as a ringtone. I think it's just fabulous. I listened to it when I was getting it up on the board, and it's just, it's so true. And I love the fact that your styling of, even though you're talking about what could be a kind of a dark, bleak, yeah, I mean, it's a gnarly subject. The whole thing about sustainability and the planet is really gnarly. And yet, you make this really wonderful, uptone, lyrical song about it. I love that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I originally thought it of a sort of a, well, again, get two people talking, because one of them represents those of us who say, you know, it's okay, we'll have reskilling workshops, we'll grow food, we'll get off the grid, we'll all pool our money and get some solar systems, and we'll tear down the fences and have communities, and I believe in all that, and I promote it heavily on my website. I don't really know that that will save us, but I believe that's a lot more constructive than let's get AK-47s and canned beans and you know, hole ourselves away in the hills and protect ourselves from the crowds that are going to come wanting food. They're both going on in America today. You know, people are facing this, and they're thinking could be the worst thing that ever happened. Some people think there are a lot of hidden benefits. We're going to get to know each other again, and we're going to connect again and do things and make things and be the way people have always been, working together in community and working with the land. That's going to happen again, I believe and hope.
I love the idea of what you're doing. I love all the topics, from everything from environment and food and GMOs and permaculture and transportation and wisdom, inspiration. BB, of all of these topics, hundreds of topics, what are people coming back to? What are people hungry for?
A lot of, Sherry, yes, thank you for asking. People are a few things. They're really into the do-it-yourself. So if I put up a video about how to make a green roof or how to make your own anything to do with increasing yields in the garden, or how to do something inexpensively like anything from indoor composting to dosh, an aquaponic system. That, you know, that means you have fish and plants that are in symbiosis, and the plants feed the fish, and the fish waste feeds the plants, and it's a way to create both fish and vegetables with no soil and no waste. So when I do anything on how to make your own rain barrel or collect rainwater or do that's very popular. Also very popular is anything to do with health. So much so that I started a whole new channel, which just launched a few days ago. It's called Next World Health TV. Also, same format. It's free to join. You get a few videos per week to your inbox about alternative cures, how to keep a healthy gut, the importance of eating fermented foods, you know, ancient wisdom on how to stay healthy, even without refrigerated foods or without modern anything. It's about herbs, it's about supplements, it's about balancing. You know, people used to know how to stay healthy and correct imbalances. And there's a whole subsection on Eastern healing, which is all about maintaining a balance in the body as a preventative health measure. You know, instead of our Western mindset, which just, well, I'll go to the drugstore, I'll go to the doctor, I'll go to the hospital, and you just keep externalizing the problem. But I think we're going to all get back to knowing ourselves, our bodies, the land, how everything works together, and tuning in instead of tuning out that which used to be given for a human.
If people want to get on your mailing list and get a subscription and all these things every week, are you sending things out weekly?
It's going to be about 5 mailings a week for each channel. So it's not a daily email, but about 5 a week, and it's free. You can unsubscribe at any time, and you can also just look at the website, even if you're not a subscriber. So it's nextworldtv.com and nextworldhealthtv.com. So Next World focuses more on permaculture, relocalizing economies, anything to do with permaculture and gardening and, you know, beekeeping and straw bale construction and how to make a solar shower and how to make a composting toilet and getting off the grid. And it's in that direction of sustainability pretty much. Next World Health TV is more I would say mind, body, spirit, motivation, spiritual teachings, Eastern, you know, like there might be a video on the benefits of Qigong, for example, or inspiring tales of somebody who cured a disease on their own, and more to do with health, mind, body, spirit, health. So both of them give, I hope, people some information that's much needed. I mean, we need to start new discussions, I feel, about how to take care of ourselves. We just can't. Between 48 million Americans don't have health insurance. I mean, we're going to have to learn how to take care of ourselves.
Do you think this is going to lead us back to a barter society?
I hope so. I think it really works well when it can work. Do you do any barter yourself, or have you had experience with it?
We do, and we give a lot of things away to help people. Like, we have software up right now, radiation exposure, because I think that is dampening our health tremendously from what we see coming into the clinic, that a lot of people are poisoned. We're poisoning our food and air and water and soil, and this is one of the things that you're, I don't want to say fighting, but you're promoting that these things that people can do, and it doesn't take a lot. They can just start with not buying plastic. Some of the videos, I don't know if they're still up, but you've been on the show before, and we've shown the videos of an ocean full of plastic.
And yes.
That's just very heartbreaking to see that and to see what it's doing to the fish and to the environment. So very simple things people can do. They don't have to jump in and make their backyard into a garden, although that's wonderful.
I think part of what you're supporting is so wonderful is that in the nerd programming world, there's a thing referred to as open source, which has to do with how you put information out there and people co-work on a project together to develop something, and it's open source. And I think of what you're doing is such a huge positive direction toward open source, you know, open source. You know, here's like you said, you want to do a composting toilet. Here's that. You want to build your earthworm builder, you know, bin. Here's how to do that. You want to have lighting. I mean, it's a wonderful open source of amazing amounts of data that you've collected and brought into a place where people. I mean, if you wanted to spend hours, boy, it would take a long time. That'd be an interesting stat to see how many thousands of hours you'd need to go through of all of Next World TV, because it's amazing what you've accumulated, aggregated there.
Thank you, Richard. You
could learn to build, like, you know, a town. Really?
Yes,
thank you. But, I mean, you really could. It's wonderful.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. That is exactly how I hope it's used. I would love. It is so easy. You don't have to subscribe or anything. Just go to the site and key in whatever you're interested in. Key in off the grid or solar or something. You'll see solar powered. You know, you'll see recording studios, solar powered entire buildings. You'll see everything from the very low tech to the very high tech. And I believe that is my role to curate a collection. I don't produce any of these myself, but I search the internet for the best videos on a given topic. And the open source part of it, what I love, for example, I had a video on canning a few weeks ago, and a woman wrote to me and she said, "I'm a canning instructor. I teach canning. This video is teaching something that's wrong. It could lead to botulism. You have to boil this but not boil that." And so she and I corresponded. I found a different video that did meet her specifications of safety for canning. I put that up instead with an apology and a correction, and I wrote, "This is what it's all about. We're teaching each other." And I wrote, you know, I deleted the other one. I put up the new one. Everybody appreciated that, and I said, you know, if you're planning to can, view this instead, not the other one. And that's exactly what it's about. We're teaching each other. I've also had videos up that are about herbs that I'm, you know, promoting or that are exciting. But I'm not an expert by any means. So sometimes I get corrected, and people say that's dangerous. That's only for certain body types or whatever. So it is like a self-correcting system when people participate in that way. I also have a Facebook page, and I welcome everybody to connect with each other there. That's really the blog format. I mean, on the Facebook page is where people can speak to each other, because I don't have a blog feature on Next World TV. It's just videos. So, yes, we should all be teaching each other, right, and comparing notes and sharing resources. Absolutely.
Is it under your name or Next World TV, the Facebook?
The Facebook is Next World TV.
It is so easy to jump onto your site and just sign up, and then you get these little surprises in the mail. The one we just got was about Big Pharma and how all of these pills are just making people outrageous in their response to their environment. I didn't have time to watch it, but I'm certainly looking forward to it. So it's not only how-to, but it's informing you with ideas and information about what's going on in your world and things that Big Pharma doesn't want you to know.
Exactly. And we are, you and your organization and all the alternative news media, all the bloggers, all the interested citizens and activists are the new, now we can correspond freely, you know, now it's out in the open. I mean, we can create the new world with this kind of information sharing.
I love it that you have an article about anti-fracking. You can hear Richard's ears perk up when I talk about it. That's become our new cuss words that we're going to use.
What's a frack?
Yeah.
Oh, fracking is so heartbreak. It breaks my heart. I can't believe that this is our solution to the oil. you know, to peak oil. I mean, this is how people who don't know any better think we're going to get through the next 100 years of energy need. And it's that and nuclear are well, magnitudes worse than drilling for oil. Wouldn't you agree? I mean,
I would definitely agree. I would almost say, and this is a stretch, but I would almost say I think that the impact of fracking is more destructive than nuclear, and I'm not pro-nuclear. I say that because in this sort of insidious, low-level, oh, we're just getting more oil out of the earth, and here's how we do it. Nobody talks about the, you know, 450 chemicals per frack or the 6 million gallons of water that are wasted in each well and pretty much destroyed forever. It's obviously something
exactly,
I can go
exactly.
off on.
Yes, right. No, there's more consistent damage per well than, I mean, with a nuclear site, we hope everything is okay until something goes
right.
wrong. But fracking
yes.
never doesn't destroy.
And it's just this insidious thing that they've convinced us that, oh, look, we're getting more natural gas, and natural gas is really good, which is true. Natural gas is really good, but fracking is really, I'll use the word because I can't help myself, evil.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's just really evil. What it does to the planet, to the earth, to our water supply, to, you know, it's bad.
And you hear all these people that say, oh, this is great and wonderful, and don't worry about the fact that your water catches on fire. That happens with every well. But they're just lying, and people are swallowing it. And that's one of the great things about yours is you give this absolute truth of this is what it's doing to the earth. And you're not afraid to just take it on. I love it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's unfortunately, there aren't that many positive aspects of it aside from the steps that, you know, activists are taking to prevent it. It's terrible. And the same thing with GMO or EMF radiation or, I mean, there are topics that, you know, I just wish I had a lot more to say about how to counter it, how and I'm eager to learn more about your software, Sherry, how to reduce radiation in your body. I mean, if there ever were something we needed now, it's that.
Well, we're going to see if we can provide something and also some charts for your people, make a little video for it, because we found some nutritional ways to help look at this. I wanted to ask you about, do you support wind and sun energy?
Yes, I do. It's just that they are so far from taking over anything in a substantial way. Of course I do. But, you know, even to make solar panels and windmills, we need petroleum and factories.
We're looking at your site, so I'm going to click on energy here and see what comes up. This is based in today, next week, and next month. Right now there's information on here about how to build your own energy system. I don't know if it was on your site, but did you have some information about using a bicycle and pumping in your own energy?
Yes. That sounds familiar. To create clean water, for example.
Or just the clean energy, if you happen to be out and the energy, your electric system goes off, then you can still create energy to run your refrigerator and your cell phones and that kind of
thing. Wow. No, I would love to find a video about that. I don't have one that specifically addresses being able to run your house on it or your, you know,
I know that Ed Begley Jr. at one point when he had a TV show, I had done a demo just showing how you couldn't, you know, what his deal was, that he would get up in the morning and he'd make toast, but his deal with himself was that he would go downstairs and he would fire up his electricity at producing bicycle, meaning just getting on a bike and pedaling, you know, pretty fast. And that was the
mm-hmm.
power generated to make the toaster make toast.
That's
there are
great.
Videos out there.
Okay, I'm going to look for that. And I seem to remember seeing something about a gym that had that as a sort of gimmick. That, you know, you get on the bike and you generate enough energy to make your smoothie or something. It was just a cute selling point for the gym. But certainly, why don't we do more like that? Why don't we have more of, I don't know, bicycles to generate energy for all kinds of things? It wouldn't it be great if every household just had that as a backup of some kind of bike generator for emergencies? I mean, these storms, these recent storms and floods, we do all need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for how to create clean water without being able to go buy any or have it pumped or have it coming out of our faucets like we're used to. This has really shown me that there are basic things we can all do to be prepared to keep a sanitary house in the event of a power outage or a storm.
I grew up in California, so I've always had, well, not always, but once I grew conscious about it because of the earthquake issue, I'll call it, in California, and having been through some major earthquakes in California, I've always sort of had that as a lean toward, you know, you always have water, you always have a certain amount of food, you know, kind of a week has always sort of been the range. And so a lot of, you know, hand crank radios and weight, you know, solar powered battery things, which is a kind of a passion of mine, is using small solar panels to produce battery, you know, energy for batteries that in then turn allow you to make things go and turn, and water filters so that if you need a hand crank water filter, so that if you need it to get, you know, use your toilet water or puddle water or creek water, you can actually pump it through this hand water filter and, you know, end up with clean enough drinking water. So it's, you know, it's the little things that you do. We don't think we need it until we really need it, and boy, it sure is nice to have that backpack of basic things ready to go when you really need it.
If you have some great ideas, Bibi, how would they get those to you?
Well, I'm happy to correspond, but the way I can promote their ideas to my list is only through video. So the best suggestion I can make is it doesn't have to be anything fancy, but just clear dialogue and clearly showing their idea. It can be shot with a cell phone. I just need a video, preferably under 5 minutes, that gets to the point and shows people the idea. And I'll be happy to, you know, blast it out. I have over 9,000 subscribers so far.
There are
wonderful
people who are really supporting little houses, and that seems to fit into the paradigm that you're shooting for. And they're so small, you just hook them up to their car and drive them everywhere.
Right.
Have you seen those?
I haven't seen one, and between you and me, I couldn't live with one myself. but I grew up in apartments, but those tiny houses are really for the super, super organized types.
There's a gentleman north of here. I'm in north of San Francisco, and there's a gentleman up in a town called Sebastopol who builds tiny homes. I'll find a link for his site. I can't remember his name or his website, and I'll send it to you.
I think I've heard of him, there are several people, and some of them teach how to build them also.
Yes, yeah. And the part that I like about it that's so attractive is that you end up with, because I have a feeling, knowing that you're a creative, that you need more space, so you feel like you need more space, and I'm the same way. And I love the idea of having maybe two or three tiny houses, where one is where I sleep and eat and do that sort of thing, and then I have the office where I go and I stand on the computer and I do radio and do shows, and then maybe I have a third one where it's just like the chill tiny house. But, I mean, they're really beautifully constructed.
Yes, that's right. And they're like you say, transportable, and they are, once you build it, I mean, you're mortgage-free.
Well, and you also have the advantage in that once you find a piece of property, one of the big advantages is that you don't pay property taxes because you're living in what's defined as a mobile home.
Right.
So you pay a DMV fee. You don't pay a land tax fee.
Exactly. That's a great point. That's a great point. Yes, there's it's the tiny house movement. If anybody listening is interested, just Google tiny house movement, and it is. I have a video up there where somebody makes the point that it's. I was about to say it's a not a fad or a trend, but that they're becoming very popular now. And in one of the videos I have on Next World TV, somebody from the tiny house movement makes the point that no, McMansions were the fad. That this living in huge houses that just got huger, more almost grotesque proportions. American homes. I've been in homes where three people live there and they have an elevator, you know, in a house. I mean, not an apartment, a house. It's swimming pools, you know. We have grown our homes to astronomical proportions, and actually, people have always lived in tight quarters. We, in our lifetime, you know, basically boomer generation, we don't really reflect on that. Things just, I mean, this knowledge has taught me how to understand that things don't keep growing and growing and growing. Our homes, our energy usage, our economy, things can't just keep growing. We have to enjoy pulling it back and bringing it into scale. And that the tiny house is, it's like an amusing example of how even in America we can pull back a little. They're so efficient, you know. And what I love most is hearing about families and individuals who got out of the rat race, quit their jobs, you know, that their whole financial picture and thereby their lives transformed because they gave up their stuff in a big house.
For people in the country, I can see this is would be easy to do. Like, we drilled our own well when, even though there's city water coming out here to the country, we still drilled our own well. What do you suggest for city people?
In general, sustainable measures, you mean, that they can take?
Yeah, water, create their own food. There was this horrible law in New York that they were going to charge anybody who was growing anything $50 permit and then come and inspect it. I guess that sort of died away. But growing something on your balcony is kind of a thing a city dweller could do. What kind of other things can city people do?
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, if they have any kind of front yard or backyard, like I'm thinking of the boroughs of Queens and Brooklyn, for example, in the Bronx in New York, or any of those, all those really urban towns in New Jersey, grow food. Grow food in the front, grow food in the back, grow food along the fences, you know, just skip ornamentals and grow food. Put in a peach tree, put in a fig tree, put in an apple tree. Take care of that. Nurture the land. Number two, start composting. Well, they go together. Composting might even come first. In New York, there are plenty of farmers markets that accept compost on Saturdays. You can just walk over there and dump your compost for the week. There are methods of keeping a worm bin in your kitchen. There are clay pot methods. If you have a yard, you can do composting in the yard in a way that critters don't get in. I mean, that reduces our garbage by something like 40%. And creates fertilizer, because city backyards and front yards don't have good soil. It's going to have to be amended. And composting is a great free thing to begin that process. You still may need to bring in soil. But those are two things. For people just in tiny apartments, if they can even just do a little basil and tomatoes, but that's not, you know, going to make a meaningful dent in it. But any food that anybody can do, herbs, tomatoes, anything, is going to cut down on some produce being shipped from somewhere that you have to go buy in a store and somebody's going to put in a plastic bag and you have to spend money on it. And, it's the more we can grow food ourselves, the more healthy systems are set in motion. What else for city dwellers? I guess the greatest thing is if they can make their cities more bikeable. They already use cars less than urban environments or suburban. I mean, less than suburban and rural environments. So, you know, keep support the bike share programs, bike as much as possible, enforce more bike lanes, and that would be it. Compost bike lanes, grow as much food as you can on your balconies and front lawns and back lawns, and rooftop gardens. I saw my first rooftop garden in New York City last year. It was a restaurant that was running it, and it was just amazing. It was just beautiful. They can't do all crops, but what they can do is herbs and lettuces and tomatoes and they even had chickens up there and eggs. Urban farms are getting going with chickens and goats, and you know the ordinances are being changed in cities all around the country because they're going back to when people used to have goats and chickens, and all these ordinances against these animals was because, you know, we got cheap food, we got big ag, we got refrigeration, and it was just not done anymore to keep goats in your backyard in Brooklyn. But let's bring them back, you know. I want animals to be comfortable, don't get me wrong, but I believe the more food you can produce in your front yard and backyard, the better.
I saw an initiative, too, of cleaning up empty lots and having a community garden.
I love that idea.
Which brings me around to another subject. In many of these towns that you see, the city ordinances says you can't grow food in your front yard, even though they flower and they're beautiful, and they're taking these people to court. Do you have anything to let people know legally what they can do or can't do?
Well, I have some videos up about at least two cases like that, and it seems to me with enough publicity, the city backs down and is just embarrassed. But I don't know exactly how to legally go about that, but with enough publicity, it's the kind of thing that goes viral, you know, grandpa fined for growing vegetables, or that, and it's the public is on the side of the people wanting to grow vegetables, so go for it.
There's two places on your site that I see where you're kind of edging toward law. One of them is people are not allowed now to keep or share their own seeds, and the other one is I've just forgotten it as I was talking about it.
Did it have to do with raw milk or
GMOs, raw milk? So is there a way to just get around those pieces on your site? And would I really get an earful if I ask you to talk about GMOs?
No, I mean, of course, I'm sure your listeners are familiar with genetically modified organisms we are the guinea pigs. We are, in our food supply, 88% of our corn, for example, is genetically modified. That means the popcorn at the movie theater, it's the corn in all the processed food, it's what children are eating at school and everywhere else, and it's proven to be extremely dangerous. It messes with your immune system. It makes you gain weight. It's just destructive as all get out to the human body. In something like 40 countries around the world, they demand labeling. And in the U.S., we still don't have a law in place where we demand that these foods be labeled. So we just have to. I just want to play it safe by buying organic. I just assume it's GMO if it doesn't say non-GMO. And we should all be buying that as much as possible and growing it as much as possible. But I think another interesting thing is the government has gotten, there are laws that prohibit people, you know, you're not allowed to sell me milk from your goat, okay? And I understand the reasons for that, but we in Maine they have something. There's a town, Sedgwick, Maine, that has food sovereignty, which means they have won the right legally to have that kind of betrayed, that they won the right to take responsibility for if anything goes wrong when they buy dairy and meat products from each other and small farms. I mean, we need to be able to do this, I feel. I mean, I'm all for safety measures, but I really feel we need to be able to trade food with each other that we grow and take the risks and not have the government involved.
One of the things that Richard is very interested in is herbs, and there is so much that could go on your health channel about what this and this herb does. I'd like to hear both of you.
Yes. Okay. Well, I have actually, Sherry, you'll be happy to hear, on my new site, nextworldhealthtv.com, there's a whole section called plants, herbs, healing herbs. Let me tell you exactly what it is. Foods that heal, and then I have herbs, foods that heal, and then herbs, spices, and plants that heal. The whole section. It's just like Next World TV. If you have looked at it, it's just type in the word health, nextworldhealthtv.com, and some other categories. I have foods that heal, health and environment, integrative healing, make your own. That's a whole section. It'll probably really appeal to women because there's a lot of natural beauty products that you can make yourself easily, even sunscreen, shampoo, household cleansers. Sky's the limit, really. Beauty masks. I have a category called power healing with supplements and wisdom through the ages and surprises, random great things. It's also motivation and you know, thing of just spiritual inspiration and teachings. So there might be a video about easy breathing exercises or Taoist philosophy, and it's a different spin on it, but it all goes back to mind, body, spirit healing and taking responsibility.
I should warn people, if they go on your site, just plan a day or two or
no.
Because this leads to that, and oh, that seems interesting, and let's go over here and look at that. It's amazing the depth and breadth of what you have on your site. It's just very, absolutely incredible. How do you have time to do all this stuff, and you do it for free?
My sister Celia Farber it contributes a lot. She has her own category on both sites. She's a science writer, and she's one of the pioneering journalists who wrote about the myth of HIV/AIDS. In short, I don't know if you or your listeners are familiar with this, but HIV has not been proven to be the cause of AIDS. It's very similar to the vaccine issues. You know, the drugs do more harm than good, and everybody is... they're not saying that there's no AIDS, by the way. They're saying that's an immune disorder, an immunity breakdown that is not caused by HIV and is not going to be healed by removing HIV. So they're not saying there's no such thing as suppressed immunity and that it increased in the 80s, and it's called, you know, they're not saying people aren't dying of AIDS. They're just saying HIV is not the boogeyman, hasn't been proven to be. So she is my sister, you know, and we have similar beliefs on all this stuff, and she contributes really great pieces for me about things. Just the importance of healing the gut and how the connection between vaccinated children and autism and that it's not just that these chemicals went to their brain, but that they have gut disorders. They don't metabolize food, which is why they cry and scream so much, because their guts... It's really depressing, and I'm not an expert on this, but she is... really into lacto-fermented foods and all this about healing the gut, which is, you know, both ancient and new wisdom. I have also brought another young lady on board whose name is Bree Sullivan, and she's contributing some great posts to both sites. So I have some help, and I've started this whole new channel. I post about one a day, and I really love I really just love the feedback from the subscribers, and I love hearing from you that you feel it's a valuable resource, so it makes it all worth it. Thank you for asking.
Celia's column is like healing highlights, as we
yes.
look at your site. I
right.
love this topic. Co-housing? What is co-housing?
It's all the communities that are – it's any community where people are sharing something instead of drawing boundaries. So it can be a neighborhood that tore down some fences and decided to share things, or eco-villages, real, you know, dedicated eco-communities, some of which have survived since the 70s all over the world, and just some new ways people are sharing resources, belongings and land, and, you know, co-housing. It can just be maybe a group of young people or old people who share, who have a common kitchen, share meals, to bring down expenses and to create
I've
community.
I've actually seen some footage of, I'll try and find that footage. There's footage of back to tiny houses. We'll call them small houses because that sounds so much larger suddenly. Small homes where they've built a community where that's what they do is they each have their tiny house together on a large lot. And then they have common cooking area and common gardening area. And they're not living really as a commune. They're living as individuals on common property with common garden, common cooking.
That's right.
So
it's
commune-like, but they, for the most part, all have day jobs. Other day jobs allow them to be at home and do their work from home.
Right. I live in a community very much like that myself, although it's not an eco-village, and we don't share a kitchen or food. We do grow a garden together, and we have a compost. It's 8 homes that share 8 acres, and it used to be a bungalow colony. It's in the Hudson Valley, and it's a little too small to be, you know, there's not the kind of focus that an eco-village would have, but I do have the benefit of sharing land with the 7 other homeowners, and it feels right to me. I mean, none of us could afford 8 acres, but we have 8 acres together. We pay common fees, and we pay a lot less for things like lawn mowing, snow plowing, than we would pay on our own little plot.
I love
Wonderful.
It. On your site, there's something for everyone, and I love it that you're expanding into health.
Thank you. I'm excited also because there was really such a demand for that, and it didn't feel like it always fit with my editorial direction of Next World TV, and it's sort of, you know, like a store bringing in a category of an item or something and seeing it fly off the shelves. I everything that I ran about health just was so popular. So after 3 years, I decided to make room for another channel and also expand to a little more mental and spiritual issues.
I envision you being the, and I mean this in a good way, because there's some, well, I'll just say this part. I envision you being the Huffington Post of open source information.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you.
Such a wonderful open source aggregator of, you know, you started with Next World TV, and now the next section is going to be the Next World Health TV, which I really feel is going to be huge because that's such a great area for people to know about. And it's so part of that, in my view, it's so part of the building your own life, everybody taking responsibility for their own health and doing it in community is even better.
Okay, thank you. I agree with you. We have to be really stick together and trade notes and take responsibility, and we absolutely have to. I just believe things like Eastern medicine are going to explode in the next few years, and all the natural healing modalities because it's about keeping things in balance as opposed to taking a pill.
Yes.
Well, it also comes from a certain perspective. For example, I am a master herbalist from many years ago, and an interesting thing to me is that a lot of this, what we're moving, you know, back to the future, really, is that so much of what's coming forward is ancient teachings. like how to grow our own food, how to use the herbs that we can grow ourselves and then consume to keep ourselves healthy, is part of what most of our ancestors had and have. And in indigenous cultures, they have a lot of this. Is just, you know, yes, of course you go work in the garden because that's where you get your food from. It's an amazing concept. It's, you know, so wonderful.
Right. And I had no idea of that, you know, apple cider vinegar, the benefits of coconut oil or turmeric. I had no idea that there's real healing and antiseptic properties. And you know, I just thought these things were interesting spices. Cinnamon is very healing. It really, there's a medicine chest in our growing right outside.
And in our cupboards, even.
Yeah.
We are incredibly grateful to Bibi Faubert for being with us today. Be sure and join her on her Facebook, see what's going on. Go to nextworldtv.com, sign up, and her new one, nextworldhealthtv.com. Become a part of the movement to go back. I don't know if it's go back. It's just bring forth, I guess, the idea that we can be self-responsible in a very easy and beautiful and community way.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show. And Richard, it's so wonderful to connect with you and your audience, and I'll continue to follow your work as well.